Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Necessary Roughness with 11-year NFL veteran, Big Ten Offensive Lineman of the Year, and captain of the National Championship Michigan Wolverines, John Jansen. And 10-year NFL veteran, two-time Pro Bowl offensive tackle, and Super Bowl champion with the Green Bay Packers, T.J. Lang. Now, here's John Jansen and T.J. Lang.
Well, T.J., we waited all offseason for it, and it's finally come and gone, and that's the draft. Held in Detroit. I thought Detroit did a magnificent job. The city, the way they put it on. We were down there early in the week on Wednesday to be able to see it a little bit. I was down there Tuesday night as well as they were continuing to set up. And then down there again on Thursday for the opening night. It was unbelievable what they did. And we'll talk about the Lions picks here in just a minute. They had six of them, and I think they did a pretty good job. Some ones that I want to ask you about, but your impression of the job that Detroit did.
Yeah, it was a home run. You know, being down there, we were down Wednesday. I was down there Thursday again as well at Ford Field, but I did walk by the draft a little bit. And only other time I've seen that many people is maybe one of the Red Wings parades back in like the late 90s when they won the Stanley Cup. But it was awesome. It looked so good on TV. I know that, you know, in today's world, security seems to be a concern when you talk about public gatherings.
Sure.
And, you know, for nothing to come out, it was obviously, it was great. And I know that shouldn't be the bar that is set, just, hey, be safe out there. But, you know, in today's world, man, there's a lot of wackos. But it was great. It was awesome. It looked great on TV. All 3 days were just phenomenal, fantastic. I know a lot of people that went down Saturday that took their kids down and just said, man, just what an experience. And reading some news articles of, you know, I think it was the Detroit News interviewed a lot of random fans from out of town. And they were like, man, like I've never been to Detroit. You obviously heard a lot of bad things over the years, but I can't believe it. It's an awesome city, man. It's so fun. It's so great. And getting to witness it firsthand and then watch a lot of it on TV, I thought was a home run. And look, I think that the NFL is going to take notice. Other sports, you know, leagues are going to take notice of how Detroit shows up, you know, and I know that with the NFL now making big events more of a rotational, you know, event, you know, Detroit certainly, you know, could be one of those teams that's listed as, hey, maybe this needs to come back every 4 years, every 5 years, because the city really did a hell of a job. And I know there were so many people involved in that, but it was awesome. It was an electric time downtown, and don't cry because it's over, smile because it happened, John. You know, we waited so long for this, and it came and went so fast.
So disappointing.
Why? You looked like you were upset. You said, man, it came and went. You looked like you were sad. You wanted to shed a tear. You wanted to shed a tear. It was awesome. It was everything. I think it was honestly more than what I could have hoped for, to be honest with you. I mean, it was fantastic. It was a heck of a weekend.
Done.
It's not like a eulogy, man. I'm like just talking about, you know, the weekend. You brought it up. You're the one.
I did, but I didn't think you were going to get all emotional about it.
You were like sounding like Eeyore over there. Oh, it came and it went. Oh, it's gone now. We waited so long and it's gone.
Yeah.
It was a great time, John.
It was. Right. It was a great time. It was fun. It was fun to be down there, and so proud of Detroit. And it will be back. There's no question. I was wondering if it would be back in my lifetime because 31 other cities that would like to have it.
And you're getting old too.
And I'm getting old. But I do think it's going to be back in the next 7 or 8 years within that time frame. So excited about that. Setting the attendance record, crushing the attendance record, 775,000 plus. And that was only those that were counted inside the fence. But Detroit's draft, obviously on Thursday night, I don't know if what the reaction was like in Ford Field. Were you still there when they made the trade?
I was not there. I was
in bed already.
No, I had a couple different obligations. I almost said duty, which I know would have cracked you up. I had a couple different duties I had to do, but I was at Ford Field until about 10 o'clock. Then I had to go to Allen Park to do some interviews down there. But Listening to it, you know, obviously saw the reactions. Sounded like the entire city exploded when they turned that pick in. And I know Ford Field, from everything that I heard, was the same reaction. I mean, it seemed like it was a home run. And John, you actually, you know, both of us got our wish with an aggressive team moving up to get a player they wanted. You were actually all over it last Wednesday in our show last week, specifically targeting Terrion Arnold. And we thought maybe it would have to be in the top 15 or top 16. Yeah. You know, it turns out you were able to get him there in the 20s at number 24, which I don't think any of us would have thought would have been possible. No. But you nailed it from, you know, last week and a couple weeks ago. That's when I heard the pick, I was like, oh my goodness, John's going to be gloating for the next probably three shows because he named the pick. I got a couple free agents, right? You got the draft picks, right? Yeah. But I know both of us got our wish in seeing Brad Holmes go get a guy that he wanted.
Yeah, be aggressive. And I mean, that's really all I wanted was to be aggressive. And I thought the best corner in that draft was Terrion Arnold. And like you
a lot of people did. Yeah.
Because there were 14, five quarterbacks in the top 10, six in the top 12. And now all of a sudden it pushed every defender back. First defensive player wasn't taken until 15, and that was Liato Latu. You know, and so it was. When I talked to Dan on the morning show, he said it was an offensive-heavy draft. Mm-hmm. So I think all the GMs, all the coaches knew that there was a lot of talent on offense, and there was still some really good talent on defense, but it was just going to shade heavy offense. So all of a sudden, you don't have – and then we kept looking at the board going, wow, I mean, Terrion Arnold's still there. Like, yeah. Terrion Arnold's still there. Like, when is Brad Holmes going to, you know, jump up and make the trade? And I loved it that – going into the draft, we thought you're going to have to at least spend a second to go up and get him at 15 or 16.
Yeah.
Now, after the draft, because everybody was complaining, well, I think he paid too much. Going into it, you thought you were going to have to give up a second to get him. You only gave up a third, and you still got the player you wanted. And I thought it was, he threaded the needle perfectly of when to go up and get him, and it was right in front of Green Bay. And who we thought would be in the market for a corner. Originally, we thought it was going to be Cooper DeJean because he was still on the board, but yeah. With Terrion Arnold still there. So I think he's perfect for this defense, both corners that they took. And we'll talk about Rakestraw in just a moment, but he is press man coverage. You heard Nick Saban all weekend talking about what he meant to that program, how he continued to improve. You heard Brad Holmes talk about every time he took the field this year, he just kept getting better and better and better. And so you love the trajectory. You love a guy that's not going to just sit there and say, hey, I'm good. I don't need to work at this and get better. Obviously, he was continuing to work his ass off to be the player that he was, and it paid off. And then the presence of you know, the stage presence that he had.
Yeah, awesome.
It was fun.
Yeah, getting drafted in the city that's hosting the draft. Yeah. You know, it was awesome. You could tell he was genuinely excited, right? Yeah. But no, I think the philosophy going into this draft obviously kind of seemed that Brad Holmes watched Nick Mullins throw for almost 1,000 yards on his team last year. And I think he took that personal, right? Obviously, in the first couple drafts, free agency, not even free agency, but via trade with Carlton Davis, you basically spent your first, second, third, and then the next year's third to go get now, which we hope is three starting corners in Carlton Davis, Arnold, and Rakestraw, right? That's a lot of picks that you spent. So hopefully these guys work out. But I think, and a lot of us said this after the season when Brad Holmes came out wild press conference with the receipts, right? I think a lot of us, a response was, you know, all right, hey, we like what you did, but man, you got to take care of that defensive backfield, right? That's been a big issue so far. He's put in seemingly all effort to go improve that position group. And Arnold, look, I think he probably benefited a lot playing opposite of Kool-Aid McKinstry. Kool-Aid McKinstry for a long time was rated higher than not only Arnold, but a lot of other corners. Terrion Arnold got tested a lot more because of that. A lot of teams weren't throwing at Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Right.
And that allowed Arnold's
stock to rise
because he really showed out in a competitive SEC, let him in pass breakups, let him in interceptions. Depending on which grading, scales or websites that you like to look at, has been consistently one of the best graded run defenders out of that corner position too, which we know Aaron Glenn and Dan Campbell, that's a non-negotiable if you're a secondary guy. Actually, the number two corner in run defense over the last year was Rakestraw, right? So I think those are two qualities that they saw in both of those guys. But you're right. I mean, does this take them out of play? You know, to we talk about free agency going all the way probably up until the season. Does this take them out of play for a veteran corner in the next couple months to bring it? I don't think it does. I mean, look, best case scenario, Terry Arnold steps in and he's a number one or number two, right? And you have him and Carlton Davis. We know they signed Amik Robertson as well. There obviously sometimes can be a rookie learning curve. So yeah. If you're a competitive team and you're a contending team and you say, and this isn't to say, hey, Arnold, maybe not be a good player, but you come in and you say after OTAs and maybe mini camp and training camp, okay, hey, this guy's on the right track. Maybe we can still go fill in a couple more roles in that secondary, because really outside these two rookies that you have, the only guy you have signed to a long-term deal, I think, is Amik Robertson anyways, yeah. Right? Carlton yeah. Davis, we know, is on a one-year deal. But definitely improved that position group. And Terry Arnold, just his – watching him on film, man, he's a sticky guy. You know what I mean? Like, he just never seems to be out of position. He looks like a bulldog back there. I mean, there's no plays where you look at that he kind of takes off or he's just, oh, somebody else go make the play. Like he seems like he wants to make every single play. And I think that attitude and that confidence and swagger will definitely fill some roles that defense is going to need, especially after, you know, letting go of CJ Gardner-Johnson, who was kind of that guy last year.
Yeah. And I mean, so you have, I don't necessarily know that it doesn't take him out of the market for injury aside, because they could still go add somebody as an edge guy. It'd probably have to be more of a trade than free, not a lot of free agents. And I think the one secondary guy that everybody talks about is Stephon Gilmore. That's the one that we've talked about, you know, possibly coming in training camp would be a part of this. But, and here's the thing, you're going to have most plays, most times, three corners on the field at one time. And whether it's Rakestraw, Arnold, Carlton Davis, Robertson, or Branch,
yeah,
I think you've got a nice stable of players that you can use.
And right.
Would I be upset if they did? No, I would love it if they went and got a veteran, proven veteran like a Stephon Gilmore. I just don't know that they want to spend the money that it would take to bring him in.
No, I'm not.
They could do something.
And I'm not saying that, but I just think, and you know, and I don't mean this in a negative connotation, but this team right now, with your expectation and the vision we have for this team, it's not like past years where you have patience for rookies and you need to get them time to develop. And hey, at least well, we got him, you know, a full season and we can't wait to see what he looks like year two. Where this team's at now, you need guys that are going to step in and be big time players from day one. Right. I think that's the expectation. So I didn't mean that in a, you know, they still need help. Hopefully Terry right. Arnold comes in and has that ability. Right. I'm just saying, we know rookies, it's a big adjustment. It's going to be a big adjustment for a lot of these guys. So if you look at Terry Arnold, maybe you were a team that, you know, maybe we're competing for the playoffs. You say, yeah, we want to get this guy in the field as much as possible. If you think you're a Super Bowl team, if he's not ready, do you want to put a rookie out there just to get the experience? You don't. That's why I said maybe sometimes you look at the veteran guys that can come in and still help these guys. Perfect world, yes. Hopefully, and I think he will be. Terry Arnold will be a big-time player for this defense. I just think that with the position that this team is in now, you don't necessarily want to have to rely on too many rookies to go out there like we did last year to go out there and really get you over that hump. So I think that all options are still available. And I think all options, look, after the draft, you evaluate again your roster, right? Where are we at? We talked about wide receiver still being a position that we thought maybe they could get a little bit of help at. Didn't go that route in the draft. Maybe now the time you start looking at a couple free agent guys, hey, who can come in and kind of fill that number three role that Josh Reynolds was big in. Are we still hoping it's DPJ? Of course we hope it's somebody in-house, but if it's not, now you kind of look at that roster again and say, okay, we feel good with the secondary, feel good with the offensive line. What position can we still continue to upgrade? I think that Brad Holmes has shown us he's always willing to upgrade any position. And we obviously know quarterback is not off the market either, basically by bringing in Teddy Bridgewater last year. So I think now's the time where you move forward and you look at this roster and you say, okay, where are still some areas we can bring in some competition for some of our young guys to make sure that we're really, really getting the cream to rise at the top.
Yeah. And I mean, to your point, we always, last year, we wanted more touches from Jahmyr Gibbs early on. They brought him along slow. We saw Brian Branch have a very impactful play week one, the interception, the pick six against Kansas City. But then we just thought, okay, he's arrived, right place, right time at that point. But we wanted to see more of him, and they brought him along. Laporta was kind of the only one that jumped in there and just had success right away. Even Jack Campbell, like, we wanted to see more of him, but they're very patient at not putting guys or expecting too many things on them. Jameson Williams.
Right.
I mean, every draft pick that they've had, they've brought along in a kind of a slow, measured way. Now, obviously, Penei Sewell, he was thrown in there right away.
Yeah.
And it was a position where there just wasn't an incumbent. Same thing with Hutch.
Yeah.
But other than, you know, a top one or two pick, you're looking at it going, this is a team that the coaching staff understands. And I think that's one of the values of being a former player as a coach. You know that there is a transition. Some guys,
yeah,
hey, they get off the bus and they hit the ground running. Other guys, it takes some time, and you don't want to ruin them early because you know the potential that they have.
Right.
And you bring them along.
You can afford to have patience, yeah. I think, right? You're no longer in the need where, man, these rookies better turn out or our season's in jeopardy, right? Yeah. Like, you're not in that position anymore, which might allow you to be smarter with some of your young guys. Yeah.
A guy that I think we're all going to have a little patience with. I've got big hopes because he's a big man. Giovanni Manu.
Yeah. He's a massive man. Yeah.
Your thoughts on not only the pick, but trading a third rounder next year to move up and take him in the fourth round this year. That's played a little bit of football, but not a lot.
Yeah. I think that tells me that this guy was not a well-kept secret by most teams. Obviously, if you traded a third, you were obviously thinking there's a lot of other teams that had the same thought process you did, which could be, you know, to get a steal, kind of get one of those gem guys in the middle rounds that some years maybe you are the only team that is on to these guys, and some years you think you're the only team, and then you see nine other guys behind the corner thinking the same thing you are. He's a mountain of a man, you know, and it is going to be a project, right? It's somewhat limited in what kind of film you get out of British Columbia and Canada college. He is obviously university. I know they don't do colleges there. He is a mountain of a man. We know he's a hell of an athlete. All the stats tell us, you know, great time running, great speed, great vertical jump, I think it was. Hell of an athlete, especially at that size. But it is going to be a massive adjustment from blocking civilians in Canada to now coming to the NFL, you know, and I watch his film and I say, man, there's a lot of things I really like. And there's a lot of things that you look at and you say, it's going to take time, right? It's going to take time. Comparison, not a comparison based off of who this guy is now, but a similar maybe route. Jordan Mailata was now the left tackle from Philly, who I know wasn't a Canada guy, but he was a rugby player right over. And Australia. I think Australia for a while, came over, took a couple years, a massive man. They said, hey, let's see if we can refine this guy a little bit. And we know what he's turned into. I think one of the highest paid left tackles now in football.
He was a seventh rounder.
Yeah. Seventh rounder. Right. And they took a chance on him. Guy that never played football before. Man, who's obviously played football, albeit at a very, 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 very small level. So it's going to be a big adjustment for him, but I think they like the tools that he possesses. I think they like, obviously, the character that he has. Do I expect him to, you know, be ready to go this year? Not a chance in hell. Not a chance in hell. I would expect him to be active and maybe your third tackle behind Decker and Penei Sewell. I think it's just going to be a big adjustment. And much like Brad told us last year with Broderick Martin, this is a future pick, right? We are not going to count on this guy or try to rush anything or be disappointed if he's not ready to go year one. Maybe year two, we start seeing some steps. And then maybe after that, we see, okay, this guy is ready to go. He's got now enough to refine skills at the NFL level to be thrown out there and to be considered a contributor. So I look at him and I see a lot of promise. I do. And you know what? A fourth round pick. I know you gave up a third. If it doesn't turn out, not the end of the world, right? But I like the fact that Brad Holmes once again stayed aggressive and went after a player that he thinks is going to make an impact, albeit not, hopefully not this year. But, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the line, we could look back at this pick and say, oh my, can you believe they got this guy in the fourth round, right? Hopefully that's what it turns into.
Yeah. And I mean, when you watch the film, you watch him run, he obviously in straight line can run well. When you watch him blocking high schoolers, he looks good. But I think even at this, at our advanced age, we probably could look good against a couple of high schoolers as well. But it's some of the, it's his lateral movement. It's his size. It's, you know, and when you hear, and I think this is one thing that they obviously had a chance to see him in person and work him out. And when you feel a punch, and I remember Russ Grimm, I don't know if I told this story last week. I hadn't talked to Washington very much before they drafted me. They were at my pro day and Russ Grimm held the bag for one drill. And all he wanted to do was feel my punch. He wanted to know, could I actually deliver a blow? Because they could see my movement. They could see all of the other things, but that's the one thing that you can't feel on film.
Right.
And so I got to believe that all of those things, they checked all the boxes, and now it's going to be when he is against NFL talent, when he gets hit in the mouth, how does he respond? Is he a guy that is okay with contact? Because it's going to be a lot more violent than any level that he has played.
Yeah, and he's never had to be a perfect technician because he's so big, he's so athletic. Right. You can just go out there and just – a lot of these film you watch him blocking other guys, it's just like one hand just shove and they're flying. You know what I mean? So, it's good technique. The fundamentals is going to be a huge learning curve for him coming into this level. Now, the good part is, he gets to learn from two of the best tackles in the league. Penei Sewell, who he's mentioned, kind of has been an idol for him growing up in the whole Polynesian community, following his career very closely. And Taylor Decker, right? You get to learn from two of the best. So he's obviously coming into a very sturdy offensive line room that is going to help him out tremendously. And he's just got to be a sponge, man. He's got to soak up a ton of information because it is going to be a big learning curve from where he's coming from. But he's going to be there for a reason, right? And that's because he's shown that he's able and capable of being a good football player. So, it's up to the Lions and their development staff and Hank Fraley to get this guy ready to turn them into, to really just polish that gem, right? Polish something that they think they found there in the middle rounds and turn him into something positive.
So they had 2 4s, 2 6s. Their other four, they took a running back safety out of Utah, Siona Vaki. Basically, it feels like they drafted a special teamer. Maybe some insurance at the running back position to be a third running back. But he, to me, feels like the offensive side of Jalen Reeves-Maybin.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, versatility, obviously they like that. I don't know. I'm not sure. Did they say which position they want to specify him at?
It sounds like they drafted him as a running back.
Okay. All right. Then, because I know he predominantly played safety there at Utah and then had to fill in a couple games on the offensive side. But versatility, you like his toughness on film. I think he was second team All-American as a safety, right? So the guy's obviously he's a good football player, right? Brad and Dan talk about all the time. We want football players in here. That pick to me screamed football player. You know what I mean? And I had kind of the same reaction as you did that, he can come in and help you on all four core special teams right away, which we know is a non-negotiable. If you're not an every down starter here in Detroit, it's non-negotiable. You have to play special teams. You have to play them at a high level. That's the expectation here. So hopefully he can turn into a good quality depth piece, whether that's in the secondary or whether that is at the running back spot, because we know Detroit likes to use their running backs, right? We saw Craig Reynolds a lot last year alongside the other two workhorses, Montgomery and Gibbs. So really no problem with that pick, no problem with that pick at all.
Yeah. And then obviously the two sixth rounders, defensive tackle out of LSU, Makai Wingo. And then also again, addressing the offensive line out of Boston College with a guard, Christian Mahogany. I like the way that this guy plays. He's a three-year starter. In 2022, he missed the entire season because of a torn ACL, but came back this past season and played. Didn't seem to have an issue with it, but he's an interior guy. And I honestly, I kind of feel a little bit more comfortable knowing that he is there. Now, obviously, he's got to come in. We got to find out what he can do. I like Awosika, and I like Sorsdahl. But I don't know if I like him that much inside. And so this is another guy that they can bring in because you got two guys that are a little bit older playing guard.
Yeah.
And obviously Frank. So if Frank goes down, you got to put Graham in. Who's going to be going in at that guard position? I think he provides some good insurance if he can make that transition from college to the pros.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. And I think both a lot of the similarity responses from both those picks were a lot of people saying, man, didn't think these guys were going to be here in the sixth round, right? Mahogany and Wingo. Wingo, Mahogany, we'll start with him since you mentioned him. He is one word that's been thrown around the last couple of days is dirtbag, which is a compliment when you're talking about an offensive lineman. Thank you. I appreciate that. That means I'm doing my job and I'm pissing people off, and your teammates appreciate the hell out of that. He said, you know, I'm glad they saw that on
not
film
practice,
because
but,
right, hopefully not your own teammates, but you know, they see what you're doing out there. And I like his movement skills. I mean, he's a mauler in the run game. I think that's kind of where a lot of his praise came from, but he was actually really good in the pass game too. I don't think he got credited with any sacks last year. So he is a guy that hopefully can come in and like we mentioned with those other guys, just solidify the depth of that room, right? We already know Frank, you mentioned the guys, Frank, Zeitler, Glasgow. These are not young players, right? There might be a chance where, you know, we saw it last year with Awosika, right? We saw it last year with, I think, Sorsdahl had to start a game or two. Skipper had to go in there at guard. You have to be ready. You have to have depth. You have to have guys, especially on this caliber team, that can come in and keep the ball moving, keep the train moving forward. So hopefully Mahogany's a guy that can come in and compete to be a depth style player. And then maybe in a year or two when other guys start moving on, you can fill him in and not miss a beat there on the offensive line. And Wingo, look, I think certainly a smaller defensive tackle. I think he measured at 6 foot, you know, 285 pounds. Burst, definitely you see that on film. But a lot of refinement I still see as well. I still think there's times where, you know, he can – I think his value at first might be if he can provide an interior pass rush, right? If you just bring him in and say, okay, probably not going to be a three-down player yet, right? Obviously behind, we know, Aleem McNeil and DJ Reader.
Yeah.
But if you can provide value as a pass rushing interior defensive lineman, you're always going to have a role on this team and then maybe develop into one of those guys that we can trust as being every down player, because you see that with this burst. You see him when he lines up wide and he's able to get an edge on guys. He's very, very good. The only thing that concerns me a little bit is with his size. If he didn't win with his initial move, he kind of got it eaten up quite a bit there by bigger offensive linemen. So, probably going to be a learning curve for him as well, coming in the NFL and realizing you're not just going to run into these offensive linemen anymore. You got to find a way to refine your skills and your hands and your footwork and how to work edges, especially with having the quickness that he does, because you see the potential. You know, his 10-yard splits were pretty much on par with a lot of edge rushers and linebackers. If you can get that on the interior of that defensive line and get a little bit of havoc there and a lot more versatility of what the pass rush is going to look like for Aaron Glenn's and what they want to do defensively, certainly can help. But, you know, I had so many texts, and I'm sure you did as well, you know, probably Saturday night and Sunday, probably 15 texts. What'd you think, man? What'd you think of the draft? What'd you think of that? My response is the same every single year. We will see. We will see, right? Because we love getting excited about it now that we're not in the game anymore. But when you're playing in the game and new rookies come in, the only question that guys like Jared Goff and Taylor Decker and Sewell and Amon-Ra are going to have is, can these guys help us win? Mm-hmm. Right? Great. If they can, great. If not, that's fine, because we still have a bunch of other players that can help us win too. So I know on the outside looking in, we get excited about these picks, but time will tell. You know what I mean? Like, I have no idea. I can't make a guarantee if any of these players are going to be good. Right? There might be all six of these players might turn out to be future starters and all pro. You never know, right? So let time kind of run its course. But my excitement, I think, comes from Brad Holmes' track record. And my excitement comes from Brad Holmes' ability and want to, when he sees a player that he wants, he's not going to sit there and say, man, I hope he falls to us. I hope he falls to us. Hell no, man. You know, it's going to cost us two. So what? If it's going to cost us a three or a four, I don't care. I'm getting a guy that I think is going to be a difference maker. And his track record has proven that. So that's what gets me excited about a lot of these rookies. But I just like to tell people all the time, temper the expectations a little bit, right? Yep. Because there's always going to be learning curves, no matter what position you're playing in the NFL as a young player. But a lot of these guys are coming into a team now with much different expectations than a lot of other rookies are going into across the league. But I'm excited about these picks. I'm excited. I think it was a good draft. And we will see. When they start putting pads on, we will see what these players look like and how much they can help this team.
Yeah, early on in Brad Holmes' draft, you six picks, you needed six guys that could come in and play. Now you can provide some time for a Broderick Martin, for a Manu to develop and become players, but don't expect all of these guys to step in and play right away.
Right.
Next week, and in the coming weeks, we're going to talk a little bit more about what else happened in the division. We obviously know Caleb Williams went one to Chicago, what Green Bay did, what Minnesota did, a couple of young quarterbacks in the conference. What's that mean for the Lions moving forward? And then obviously we're going to expand it to the NFC because there's some teams that had some head-scratching moments as well as some other ones that made some pretty sneaky picks. So we'll continue to break down the draft. Minicamp will be coming up. We'll get a chance to see this team a little bit. And figure out, you know, where things are falling and watch the development early on of some of these players. But we'll continue to bring you everything that is Detroit Lions right here on Necessary Roughness.